So the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying for when we pray this week in, week out? We pray this petition. And we'll see that we are praying concerning our own obedience, both to, and we'll explain this in a moment, but what we call God's decretive will and his preceptive will. And so that's our three portions this afternoon are examining what is the will of God. Secondly, we'll see how we break both his decretive and preceptive will. And thirdly, we'll see how we are called to obey it in earth as it is in heaven. So our three parts this morning, what is God's will? How do we break God's will? And thirdly, how do we keep God's will? So first, what is the will of God? And we speak of it in two ways. If you want to get technical in theology proper, God has one will. He is one being with one will, not two wills, not three wills, but one. Nevertheless, God has condescended to our weakness and expressed his will in two different ways, two different senses. One sense is his preceptive will concerning his precepts, concerning his moral law. This is the duty that the Lord has called all people to obey. This preceptive will is our moral obligation. It is summarized by our Savior as love for God, love for neighbor, summarized by Moses in the Ten Commandments. And so he reveals to us his preceptive will. And so if we are called, as we are called, to love Christ, then we will obey his will. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Another way of saying, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we will obey his precepts. The second sense of God's will is his decretive will. Decretive will dealing with his providence, dealing with all things that God has decreed to come to pass. These are things he has ordained that come about in history. Unlike the preceptive will, we cannot know God's decretive will until it comes to pass, barring things that are prophesied. Something we see in 1 Peter 4:19. In fact, here's a great verse for this. Not only are we called to do the decretive will, but more the attitude and the motive we have in accepting it and loving it. So 1 Peter 4:19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So there it is. If God's decretive will calls us to suffer, and it has, then we are to commit our souls to him and do good. We also see this idea of a decretive will in Ephesians 1:11, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So God is working all things according to the counsel of his decretive will. So positively speaking, those are the two wills we are considering in the third petition, the preceptive and the decretive. Probably worth mentioning, there's a very popular will of God amongst, I learned about it growing up in Southern Baptist circles. I think a lot of evangelicals have a view of this sort of secret mystical will of God. Now, we deny that this will exists. But again, worth mentioning because a lot of us probably grew up with this, that there is this sort of secret will of God to make your life perfect, to grow the kingdom for your good and your happiness, but you just have to figure it out. It's not so, you know, you're making a choice. Who should I marry? What college should I go to? What job should I take? And there's the perfect will of God, the secret mystical will. And if you choose the right one, good things will happen. And if you choose the other one, it may not be sinful, but your life wouldn't be as good. And we reject such a thing. The scriptures do not teach this sort of secret will the way it's often spoken of. Right? Reformed theology, Presbyterianism is far much more in line with St. Augustine, who says something to the effect of, do what you want and don't sin. So, no secret will, just a preceptive and a decretive. So God's will, again, it's clearly revealed as well. It's not some sort of vague secret thing. It's clearly revealed. Day-to-day events show us his decree of will, which the Lord's Prayer calls us to cheerfully submit to his providence. It calls us to endure sufferings and hardships patiently, as well as his moral law, which calls us to obey the Ten Commandments, to love God and love neighbor. So that's to say, what is the will of God? Well, we speak of it in those two senses, preceptive and decretive. How do we break God's will? Well, we note right away that by nature, that is man in his unbelieving, unregenerate state, by nature we are unwilling and unable to know and do the will of God. Since the fall of man, we are in that sinful state, total depravity. It affects our hearts, it affects our minds, it affects our bodies, it affects our souls. Sin has so affected our natural state that we cannot see and know the truth of God's will. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So that's to say, sin has so darkened our hearts, our minds, our natural inclination is toward wickedness. Our natural inclination is to oppose what is righteous. Again, we're reminded of this in Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So that's to say, in our natural, sinful, unregenerate state, we cannot know or do the will of God. It is only by the salvific work, the redemption of Jesus Christ, that he sends his Spirit to open our eyes to see his will, to open our ears to hear it, to turn our hearts from stone to hearts of flesh that long to delight in God's will, to take our darkened minds and enlighten them. Apart from this application of redemption by the Holy Spirit, men cannot know the will of God or pray that it would be done. Certainly, we know throughout history, some men try to reason to the will of God, right? Philosophy, science, attempting to find it. But if they are not regenerated, it will not be found. And so it is that we are to pray, thy will be done. And we recognize thy will can only be done and rightly enjoyed from the regenerate heart. And we know this, that even as Christians, we are now able to do his will in earth as it is in heaven, and yet we still break God's will. We murmur against it. We rebel against it. We think in moments of temptation and we give in, we think sin is more fun and glorious and lovely than Christ and his law. And we know how often we do these things. We complain against God's decree of will. Maybe not recently, but we grumble about weather. Weather that ruins an outing. We should be praising God. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God has better plans for us. But we plan a picnic and the weather ruins it and we don't say praise God. We grumble against him and the weather that he has decreed. How about a long line at the supermarket? How about traffic? When's the last time you hit traffic and said, praise the Lord for his decretive will, doing what is perfect and good? Or how often, as much as we grumble about bad providences, we might say, and how often in his good decrees do we give him the glory? Sometimes when we are successful, we might chalk things up to chance or to luck and not to the Lord. Probably more tempting for a lot of us here is that when we are successful, we champion our intelligence or our strength or our hard work. And we love ourselves. And then when we face difficulties, we murmur against God. But when was the last time we thanked God for these good things in our lives? Whether it be good weather or good success. When was the last time we cursed him for difficulties in our lives, for the storms, both real and metaphorical? Because it seems we can even fall into this, of this assumption that God owes us happiness, he owes us wealth and health, and he owes us earthly enjoyments. And when those are not received, or more so when they are taken away, we think God is cheating us of our rights, of something we deserve. We very often grumble against the decretive will of God. And that is how we break the decretive will. The breaking of the preceptive will, a bit more obvious. We tend to mention this every week in our services. It is the transgressing of God's moral law. When we hate him and when we hate our neighbor. When we do what the Ten Commandments tell us not to do. When we don't do what the Ten Commandments tell us to do. We are breaking God's preceptive will. Of course, I pray it is not our desire to break God's will. Rather, I pray it is our desire to truly, sincerely pray the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So with that in mind, let's turn to our third question of how do we keep the will of God? So first, as we continue to consider how do we keep it in earth as it is in heaven, what does it mean for God's will to be done in heaven? Currently, in the heaven of heavens, God's will is done perfectly. Both the angels and the departed souls of the saints that have gone on before us are in the presence of Christ, and they have been made perfect, and they perform God's will without sin. Hebrews 12, 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. So these men are made perfect. Their spirits or their souls have been made perfect, and they are in heaven. They are not transgressing his will, but rather keeping it perfectly. And so it is that we look forward even to the eternal new heavens and new earth when Christ returns, where his will is done without iniquity, where we have always a righteous attitude and a righteous motive or motivation, where we are humble and cheerful, faithful and diligent, zealous, sincere, and in constant obedience like the angels. For in heaven there is no sin or temptation that interferes with our perfect obedience to his will. That's what the perfect obedience is in heaven. And we look forward to that. We look forward to the day we are glorified when Christ returns and he perfects us in body and soul. Right, Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And so this is an encouragement, a foretaste of that heavenly will-keeping as we long for our bodies and souls to be made perfect and to keep his will without sin. So when we pray for the third petition, we are praying that we would be obedient in earth as it is in heaven. Now this side of glory, it is impossible for us to obey God perfectly, yet we are still called to seek conformity to his will. We've already mentioned this, but due to Adam's eating the forbidden fruit, he plunges all mankind into disobedience, into sin, into misery, and it makes perfect obedience impossible in this life. We know what it is to break God's Ten Commandments. We know what it is to grumble about the weather and traffic and his decretive will. But for the Christian who is being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, there is a foretaste of heavenly obedience to come as we strive for greater obedience. We are called to always strive, to press forward. What does Paul say in Philippians 3? That we are pressing toward the goal, to the upward call and the prize of God in Christ. We are pressing toward learning contentment with God's providence. We are pressing toward living in accord with his law. Now again, we will not attain it on earth. So what is our hope? As we do pray the third petition and we recognize we don't obey God's will. One is we look to Jesus Christ, Christ alone, the author and finisher of our faith. It is in regard to the decree of will that we pray for humility and joy in accepting what God has ordained, knowing it is for his glory and for our good. But we look to Christ because we become proud or we become disgruntled, and we look to Christ who kept and loved God's decretive will. Even when he prays, let this cup pass, he is willing to do the will of the Father. And it is that perfect obedience, that perfect merit that we look to for hope, that it will be given to us, this righteous merit credited to our account when we do not love the will of the Father. Likewise, as we violate God's preceptive will, doing what our flesh desires over what God desires, we look to that blood of Christ, the one who never sinned but shed his perfect blood to cover our sins. Furthermore, we also look to the righteousness of Christ, the only one who has ever done the will of the Father perfectly in earth as it is in heaven. And that great merit he has earned is given to us so that we can be righteous as if we did love God's decretive will and keep his preceptive will perfectly. So in all this, let us continue to look to Christ for forgiveness, for our righteousness. Let us look to the Spirit to apply it to our lives that we may live in obedience to the will of God. And certainly let us continue to pray the third petition, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, loving God's preceptive and decretive will. Amen. Let us pray.